This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
And another campaign interview today. Virgil Osborne running, a Republican candidate for state representative. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, thanks for having me, Kyle.
So I guess at the front end here, as we're getting close to the ballots going out, in fact, much closer than I think a lot of people realize, back up a step, kind of tell folks more about you, your background, your career, some of the things you've done.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was born and raised here in Douglas County. I went to Douglas High School. I'm a Winston boy. I've lived here my whole life and worked for Rosebrook Forest Products for a short time and then eventually ended up going out of the state working for a company that I was repping in the state. So I actually have always kind of worked around Douglas County or in Douglas County in Southern Oregon. I've made it a big point in my life to give a lot back to the community. I do search and rescue, have been for the Sheriff's Department search and rescue for almost 20 years. I drive their snowcat for them, and I also do work on the ground teams and also work with the rest of the mountain rescue teams and other parts of that as well. It's just kind of a mission of my life to always try to give back to the community the best I can. I own a small business here in town as well, and I also work for a company out in Wilbur, FCC Commercial Furniture, and been there for now 22 years. So, yeah.
How did you get involved in the search and rescue area?
Well, there was a need for it. I have some expertise in mountain rescue type stuff, off-road vehicle maneuverability, that type of thing. I'm pretty good at it. I've done it my whole life. And the Sheriff's Department asked me if I would be willing to help them out with their mobile units. And I started working, oh gosh, it's been roughly 20 years ago. I started working with them and kind of they liked what I did and I kind of got good at it. So now I do quite a bit of it. So
I've talked to some of the folks recently from DCSO about search and rescue, and that's kind of a fascinating area because the calls for help do not normally, I mean, your phone just rings.
Yeah, and that's something a lot of people don't understand. We don't, you know, we never go out on a bright, sunny, you know, Saturday afternoon at, you know, 1 o'clock in the afternoon on a rescue. It's always in the middle of the night usually, and it's a lot of times when I'm driving snowcat, we'll get the call because somebody didn't come home from being up in the snow over the weekend, and my phone might ring at 1 o'clock in the morning, and we have to go load the cat and figure out how to get it to where we need to go for the mission. And sometimes those missions last all night. It's not unusual to take off, midnight and come back at 6 or 7 in the morning.
What is the most gratifying part of that?
I get asked that question a lot. People ask me, why would you do this? And, I say the same answer to everybody. All you have to do is save one life, just one time, and you will never quit. I mean, that's what it's all about. It's not about me. It's about the ability to let somebody else, help somebody else survive, you know, an ordeal or an incident or bring closure to an incident. That's what I like.
So you've got a job, you've got a business as well. You do the search and rescue. What led to your decision to take on one more thing on your plate and run for state representative?
Well, yeah. So having a small business, business is pretty darn important. And the relationship between the state and businesses and the business environment in the state to me is very important. I mean, I understand all about paying taxes and payroll and, you know, cash flow, that type of thing. I also, having grown up here, I like it here. I love the way of life we have. And I think there's a lot of things here that need attention. And I don't think they had a strong voice in Salem prior to this, giving those things attention. And timber management would be one, homeless issues. There's a list of issues that I feel like I might be able to help with.
So what skills do you think you bring to the table that would help you in this position?
So my whole career has been spent, for the most part, in sales, and I'm really good at negotiating. I've worked with companies like McDonald's, Burger King, KFC, Taco Bell, and fast food. I was a corporate liaison with most of those, and I don't accept no very well. I'm actually pretty good at negotiating to yes.
What about a focus? Are there particular areas that you would really hone in on?
Yeah, I'm highly concerned about homeless. That's an issue that when I was a kid, we didn't have a lot of homeless issues around here. And a lot of the problem, I feel like, is not being addressed. I mean, we're really good at putting Band-Aids on the homeless issue by building shelters and, you know, moving them to other places. But I think we really need to attack the root cause of homelessness. And I think that we can go into the details on that, but I think I can certainly help with that. Also, law enforcement. As you know, I work with the Sheriff's Department very closely on a volunteer basis. And so law enforcement is very important to me. That's part of the key. Drug enforcement, that type of thing, needs to be front of mind, because I don't feel like it's being pushed anymore.
Tell us more about your thoughts on the homelessness issue.
So my feeling on homelessness is that until we decide we're going to attack the root cause of homelessness, we're never going to solve the root problem of homelessness. And the problem with homelessness is obvious. It's obvious. It's everywhere. You see it in the streets. You see it, you know, in our county parks and our city parks and what have you. There's a reason why the folks are homeless, and it's not necessarily because they choose to be. In some cases, it may well be, but there's issues like drugs is a real problem, and it needs to be addressed. Rehabilitation's a problem. Measure 110, when it was passed, it pretty much took the teeth out of the police's ability to go in and prosecute somebody or actually, you know, investigate a vehicle when they pull them over. If they find drug paraphernalia, they could actually take that person to jail. Well, Measure 110 passed, and basically it made it just a misdemeanor or a citation. So you've taken away that first line of chance for the police to actually have somebody go to rehab. We need to spend more money in our state, I think, on the actual rehab part, which is what 110 was supposed to help do. And in my feeling, it just has not done that. That would be the first step. There's also mental health. We don't spend the money down here. We don't have the resource. Well, the state has the resources. The budget has plenty of money in it, but we're not spending the money in the right places to address the problem, in my opinion.
If you are a state representative, of course, you're voting on things, but there's a lot behind the scenes with committees. Are there particular assignments you would hope to get if you're elected?
Yeah, so another really strong interest of mine is the timber industry. I've been involved in it. I've worked with in it and around it for years. So land use and water is a committee, and that's a very important one to me. And also there's one on business as well. That's something that I show a lot of interest in as well. There's a few others that we're kicking around looking at it, but haven't just made any decisions on those yet.
Now, what about legislation? Are there things you're already kind of thinking about, or maybe other things you're aware of that others are working on right now that you'd really like to see come out of this next session?
Yeah, absolutely. I've actually spent a fair amount of time in Salem over the last few months. As you know, I've been campaigning for almost 2 years. We've been working pretty hard on this, and I've spent some time with the legislature up there. I've made some day trips and even some overnight trips. One of the things that I'm actually working on right now with David Brock Smith, who is our rep from District 1, is we're working on a bill that will change some of the rules on OHA and how when you're arrested, you lose your Oregon health plan as soon as you're arrested. Not when you're convicted, but as soon as you're arrested, which puts you into a situation where the county is paying for your health care while you're in custody. So there's some things there that I'm working with the sheriff on and also working up there. And then the cat tax. I'd like to see the cat tax have a different ceiling. If it doesn't go away completely, and again, you know, there's a few people that voted for that I really question their votes, but the cat tax is really hurting business, and if it's not going to get better. So we're working on some legislation with that as well.
Do you feel like, in terms of the what you mentioned there a moment ago about losing health coverage when you're arrested, do you feel like that was put in there on purpose, or is that one of those sort of unintended consequences of something being written not quite the way somebody intended?
You know, again, I have to do more research on it when I actually get into committee on this, but I would say that it probably the latter. I think it was something that just was overlooked. There were things that didn't get followed through on, and unfortunately, sometimes laws get passed by people that don't understand what they're doing when they pass the laws, and that affects every county. That's not just Douglas County, but in Douglas County, that affects that's $1 million a year or more that we have to pay for health care, which could provide 8 to 10 new deputies in the jail, and that's what we're behind that many right now. So I mean, that's just a minor thing compared to some of the other things we've been looking at, but certainly affects here. Of course, another big one for me is wildfire prevention, wildfire protection, that type of thing. And, having been involved in several forest fires here with the evacuations of them being in search and rescue, that's always going to be near and dear to my heart.
What about changes you'd like to see overall in state government and how it's ran?
Well, I'm going to go with the Christine Drazen camp on that one. I'd like to see a Republican governor elected. I'd like to see Christine Drazen elected. And one of the first things she's promised is fire all the department heads as soon as on day one. So we need to clean up, make them responsible. The Democrats have had a supermajority in the state for a long time, not just the governor, but also the House and the Senate. And we need to work together. We need to actually... The supermajorities are never good for the people they serve because it's only going to serve one side. We need to work together to serve the community and Oregonians in general.
More when we come back. Virgil Osborne running for state representative. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 News Radio, 93.9 FM, 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming at 1. David Littlejohn with True Wealth Radio, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4. On Inside Douglas County today, Virgil Osborne, Republican candidate for state representative. A lot of discussion around the nation and in Oregon about the potential for GOP gains. Some people think it's going to be big. Some people think it may not be as big. What are your thoughts, or what are you hearing as you talk to other folks that are either in Salem now or seeking to get there like you?
Yeah, so I've been pretty close with the folks in Salem, and our PACs up there working super hard for all of the races that are happening. I believe every single House seat that's up for grabs right now has at least a Republican running. They're not always polling ahead, but they're definitely running, and it's looking very good for at least a chance to even it out. We're probably not going to end up with a majority in the House, but in the Senate might be another issue. We may end up with an equal Senate, which will be really good. That would go miles toward making better decisions for the state if we could just get a little bit more conservative way of thinking there.
Now, with the House leaders both exiting to run for governor and then with Peter Courtney retiring, it's going to be a whole new landscape.
Yeah, I forget the number, but I think it's like 40 different new faces coming in because of the people who are moving out. So we're going to have a freshman group of legislators coming in, which is another reason why I've spent quite a bit of time in Salem with the caucus as it is already, just to try to learn what's going on. I mean, I spent 2 days with them going through bills, that type of thing, just to kind of get a head start on what's happening in Salem.
And you've got some of the folks who are trying to go from the House to the Senate to replace those that are exiting the Senate. So that's kind of a factor, too, with another change.
Well, right, yeah. It opens up a bunch of seats. And again, there's going to be a lot of fresh faces there in the House. And I think the learning curve is going to be very steep.
How do you balance what is technically a part-time job with your day job and with all these other things you have going in your business as well?
Yeah, I've had the discussion with all of the parties involved. Of course, my wife being the number one, she had to agree to this, and she actually is supporting it, of course. My off-road business is pretty much being ran by my cousin right now, and that'll continue, and she'll have interest in the business as well, so she'll do that. I don't do a lot there. FCC Commercial Furniture, I do outside sales for them, so I'm pretty flexible. Most of the work I do is from home anyway, from my home office, so there won't be a lot of change there as well. The one concern is with search and rescue, and I will change some of my training times because I'll be busy, obviously, with long session, but I'll always stay involved in search and rescue, particularly with the snowcat operations, that type of thing.
And is that one of the things you've heard as you've talked to other folks running or in office about? I mean, some people have thought about the idea of going to a full-time legislature, but a lot of people don't like that based on the original kind of concept of how it was supposed to be put together.
Yeah, just from the time I've spent in Salem in the last few months, I know it's a part-time job, but I tell you, it really is a full-time job. And, I don't sleep anyway. I work all night and all day as it is, so I'll just replace some of those hours with legislative issues.
And as you've been out campaigning, what are the sort of the concerns you're hearing from people in Douglas County?
Yeah, great question there. So, of course, the concerns I think in Douglas County are slightly different than probably the concerns on a national basis. But the number one concern I always hear is, I wouldn't say the number one concern, but one I always hear a lot is with forest management, right? Because Douglas County has forests. That's what we do. We grow trees. They're concerned about their jobs. They're concerned about, you know, wildfire, concerned about the damage that Archie Creek fire, that type of thing has caused. That's one. But the one that really always seems to float to the top is a homeless issue. I get asked that question more than probably anything else. And of course, my address to that is we need to hit it head on.
I mean, so if you got in there, I know that a lot of people go in with a lot of ideas and a long list. And realistically, there's a lot of things you've got to learn, even just logistically. Oh, and there's the middle of a big, huge construction project going on as well. So that's going to... Right.
You know about that. Okay.
Yeah, that's going to be an impact and probably continue to impact things into next year about how certain things are done or whatever. But what are some of the things you would like to walk in the door and try to put together at the very front end?
You know, I have lots of plans, and I'm not going to divulge all the plans at the moment because I don't know that some of them are necessarily what I want to do first. But I think that working together with the caucus is going to be important. I think I need to learn. I have folks, of course, I have a chief of staff that's going to be going with me. I think I need to get through the learning curve as quickly as I can to try to make a difference. Again, I've worked with a couple of our reps now locally here on several issues, and we need to get some money coming down here to Douglas County. We need the voice of Douglas County to be heard, and we need to start addressing some of the problems that we have down here. My number one focus is going to be on that.
And for the campaign, a lot of focus on the governor's race, on the congressional race. Seems like your race and some of the other ones have been kind of quiet.
Yeah, it is. I think that you know, we don't have the television headlines like obviously the governor's race does, and boy, they are busy with campaign ads, and then of course Alec in his race as well. And you know, I support Alec and I support Christine Drazen wholeheartedly, and I hope to heck that they win their races.
So as you've talked about spending time in Salem, just walking around there, looking at all the history, all the aspects of state government and that being the seat of power, I mean, at what point did you think maybe this is something you'd want to do?
Well, I was already there long before I ever went to Salem. I felt like I could make a difference in politics here in the state, and I've felt this way for quite a while. Probably, I guess now it's been close to 3 years ago, my campaign director and I had sat down, and we kind of, you know, we're friends, have been friends for years, and we just talked about what I could do to make a difference, because I really wanted to make a difference. And, you know, we looked at different spots, and the House seat seemed to be the best chance at making a difference. And so that's kind of where I am.
When you look at Oregon and some of the things, what are some of the shifts in the state budget priorities you'd like to see?
Well, you know, and that's an interesting question. The budget is probably the most complicated thing I've looked at, and I don't know if you've had a chance to study it, Kyle, but it is very complicated, but a ton of money, and I mean billions of dollars, go into health and human resources. That money doesn't come this way, and that money needs to start coming this way. For one thing, the state the budget keeps going up, and the taxes keep going up, which I'd like to see that kind of go the other direction. I think we could be much more conservative in our spending, but I think we need to spend our money on health and human issues, really. You know, particularly mental health.
As you have all these federal dollars coming out of the pandemic that have rolled into state government and been dispersed, is there a concern that a lot of things have been kind of started and put together that, because the federal money will be short term, you're going to be looking around in another year or two and figuring out how do you address these things because that money won't be there?
Oh, I think that's absolutely true. Off the top of my head, I can't think of some of the bills, but some of the ones we discussed, definitely that's happening now. And I also believe that there's monies that we're put into things that were supposed to come to fruition that haven't, but the money's still there. And that money, instead of being spent where it should have been spent, is just sitting there waiting for another idea to come up, and it's going to funnel through to a different project. And see, that type of mismanagement of our state's money is wrong.
What about state infrastructure? Oregon's got a lot of bridges, roads, things that were built 50, 60 years ago. Some of that's federal, but a lot of it's state. How do you keep up with that?
Yeah, that's a tough one. And one of the issues that's coming up, and I remind people of this all the time, is the movement to go to electric cars, which I think, you know, it's the right thing to do to move into electric cars of the future at some point. I also think hybrid cars are kind of my choice. But you have that money coming from gas tax that's supposed to pay for a lot of these infrastructure fixes and maintenance, that type of thing. When we move toward electric vehicles, we are going to move away from gas and fuel, which means we're going to have to find a new source of revenue for those taxes to pay for our roads. That's an issue that is probably going to be settled in a use tax, which is going to affect a lot more people in ways that I don't think they're going to like. So I think that needs to be addressed, and we need to make smart decisions going forward on that.
If people want to find out more about your campaign, what's your website?
It's www.virgilosborne.com, and that's spelled VirgileOsborne.com, or you can find me on Facebook.
All right, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Kyle. Appreciate it.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.